Ah, good morning. Holy cow.
Oh, my.
10 a.m. podcast. Sunny Friday morning because we saw Sonic the Hedgehog last night. You know, I was.
Is that the reaction?
I was dreading seeing that movie. God, the trailer looked awful.
I was dreading it, and then I heard that, like, people thought it was okay.
Yeah, but.
And then I was like, okay. But I was in for a shock.
The trailer, the original trailer, I was like, Jim Carrey, no.
Yeah.
No, just no, no, go no. away. It looked so cringe.
It wasn't even Jim Carrey, no. It was also Sonic, no. I mean, we should say that. How did you guys feel about the Sonic design in the first trailer?
I didn't actually hate it when I first saw it. I was like, oh, I get what they're going for, like semi-real, semi-cartoon.
Yeah.
But after they did the redesign and then we went back to watch the trailer, I was like, yeah, that is pretty
good. What were they thinking? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get into all of that and more. But first, guys, we have to tell you the results of the Oscars predictions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember last episode? That was before the Oscars happened and we all made bets. And it turns out...
You made me gamble.
One of us sucked at it.
Uh-oh. It was me.
So the stakes that we had laid out were the winner gets a milkshake. That's what they get if they win. So let's find out. There's a milkshake on the table here. Well, kind of. There's a Star Wars Frappuccino.
Oh, that's what
There's
that
a
is.
Starbucks Frapp.
I was wondering. I'm like, who brought their Frapp in here? It looks delicious.
I want that whipped cream on the top.
Is that
Do
matcha?
I deserve it?
It's green tea matcha. Yeah, it's matcha one.
Matcha?
Hell yeah.
I love matcha.
Me too.
Well, let's see if you won. David, please read us out the score that was lauded to the person in fourth place.
It is a total of 38 out of 76.
Ooh.
That's the first place?
That's last fourth. Place. That's Riley.
Oh, Riley.
This is actually a lot closer than I expected.
Yeah, right? Based on entirely my gut.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen like 75% of the movies we were
Your
talking about.
Your gut sucks, dude.
You got a good gut.
No, he needs a fecal
38
transplant.
38 out of what? 38 out of what?
76.
Come on.
That's if you did like your double bet on each round, the top is. But if you just got each right, it'd be 57.
A D or C, depending.
Wait, but that's passing.
Dude, you need a fecal transplant. That's get a better gut.
That's a passing grade. That's how I got through university right there.
In third place is Brandon with 46.
See, what a jump.
Wait, Brandon was third?
Yeah.
And he had seen every movie.
Yeah.
Well, just because he's seen it doesn't mean
this is completely. I wasn't playing the game either. I was just following my heart. So, whatever. I'm fine. Sorry, right. Brandon.
Second place. Actually, we'll just announce the winner because if we announce second place,
what was the score of second place and the score of first place?
Yeah, the score of second place was 48. And the score of the winner was 51.
Oh, so that's getting one more right.
One
really.
More right. And the winner is...
Oh, you can do sound effects after
the
fact.
Yeah,
right?
do a drum roll sound effect.
I'm not going to do a sound effect. That's going to take too much time. The winner is...
David! Oh, your plastic straw, you smug winning planet
killer. That's why I
chose
this, because I didn't want a milkshake. I wanted a Frappuccino.
Yeah, okay, but joke's on you. You bought your own Frappuccino.
Wait,
expensive,
yeah.
I guess.
You knew that you won before you walked in here.
Huh?
So you
I can't
went
hear you over the sound of my slurping.
It's you gotta slurp louder, dude. There it is.
Oh, don't do that again, but that was nice. All right.
Audio experience.
Okay.
Good for you, David.
Great job.
I should have picked Parasite to win. Damn it.
You're more pedantic than the rest of us.
Let's get into Sonic, guys.
I love Sonic.
Give me your out of 10 for Sonic and your slogan.
Okay, so before I went into this movie, I saw that it got like 70% on Rotten Tomatoes and 7.4 on that. That's what it was at when I checked. So I was like, oh, okay, I had like decent expectations going in. But I went in and watched this thing and I'm like, no, this is a four. It's a four out of 10. And my slogan is, gotta go fast away from the theater. Is what I said after seeing this movie.
David, how about you?
I wrote a movie that executes nearly perfectly in its thoroughly unimpressive ambitions to be this mascot's middling adventure.
Oh, okay.
Six.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that was nice.
Wow, you guys. Well, I'm struggling here because I don't know if I should rate it on my own, like, personal what movies do I want to watch tonight out of 10,
right.
Or if rate it for what it's trying to be. It's just like, yeah, it's a kid's movie. It's about a video game. Because I feel like in the former case, I'm going to give it like, I don't know, a 4 or 5. Like, I'm never going to put this on.
Yeah.
Like, why the hell would I ever, David, put this on?
No, that's how I
unless
rate
I had like a 4-year-old in my house. Or do I give it like an 8? Because I thought This is actually about as good as this movie could have been for what it's trying to do. It's, I think it's a pretty good kids movie, and if I had to bring my kid to it, I laughed a bunch as an adult. I thought the jokes were pretty good. I wasn't having a bad time in that theater at all.
I disagree.
Okay, that's great. That's a good thing we're having a podcast. I only prepared a slogan for if it sucked, I was going to say. The only thing faster than Sonic is my attention span in this movie. That was what I was like, expecting, but actually, I liked it. So I don't have a slogan.
Wait, so what did you give it?
On my personal James scale, I guess like
a... No, what? You have to pick one. You can't just give it two numbers.
Well, I already said it was an 8 for a kids movie. I'm going to say for me, it's like a 5.
Okay. Average of like 6.5.
Average process?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did the math real quick?
It's not the math. That's bad math. Don't listen to my math.
Should we start by talking about the VFX?
Sure. Yeah. I think that's going to be like the precursor thing.
I think that's the switched. Big... That's the most interesting part of this movie is the VFX scandal for me.
I can't imagine... watching this movie with the original Sonic character model.
Really?
If they had kept that, I would have been disgusted and probably left.
What, really?
I think it made a big difference.
A huge difference. There was a few scenes where I could very clearly imagine the like semi-real thing. Like the scene when he's underneath the bleachers peeking out, it would have been kind of better if he was way creepier. Because like in this version of it, it's like kind of earnest and it's like, oh yeah, we like Sonic. And like, oh, he's longing to have friends in this. But it'd be way better if it was a scary, horrifying monster underneath the bleachers looking at the children.
Because see, like that's interesting because like part of his characterization in this movie is as like this eccentric, weird loner, weirdo who like lives in the forest by himself and creeps on the entire town. So it's like they could have doubled down and just made him look like a weird, creepy alien.
It'd be like a campy indie film, like a weird stalker vibe.
Yeah, that'd
be
amazing.
But instead, he's lovable.
Yeah.
Right, so you actually you like him throughout the movie.
I guess he's lovable. Yeah, I think we'll get into this later. But I have zero nostalgia or brand attachment to the Sonic franchise at all. Like I've never played Sonic games except for Smash Bros.
Childhood sucked, hey?
I didn't play. I didn't have the game consoles. My first game console was N64, so I never played any Sonic games. Never watched
your
any
parents
Sonic
just
cartoons.
Buy you like wooden toys
or
like,
no, I had an N64. I played Nintendo stuff. I have nostalgia for like Mario things.
Yeah, when N64 came out, you were already like 10 or something.
Yeah.
What did you do before that?
Watch TV, play with toys. I don't know. Read. I liked reading as a kid.
Sucks
I was like
to be you,
I was
buddy.
A huge nerd. I was such a nerdy kid. But yeah, no nostalgia or brand attachment to Sonic at all. So seeing this movie. If they kept with the old design, I feel like it would just be, it would like barely affect it for me.
Huh.
Because I think everyone seeing this movie and being like, yeah, that's the Sonic I recognize. That's the real Sonic. Like I had zero of that because I don't really care about Sonic.
Yeah, but that's the point of making this movie. It's like no one needs this movie to be made. It's
exactly.
Like you're an adult and you're like, hey, that thing I recognize. If you don't recognize that thing, why make the movie?
Right, right.
The whole movie is based on nostalgia.
And that's a huge problem I have with the movies, but we'll get into that later. As for the VFX, yeah, this is a really interesting story because it's a story of internet backlash actually having real effect on the real world.
Yeah.
Like, you put something out there, the studio put something out there, everyone hated it, and then the studio actually changed it.
They spent a bunch of money on it, and then the office responsible for the redesign closed.
Yes. Yes. Do you remember what they're called?
MC something.
MPC, oh, I think.
Moving Picture Company. Yeah. Or something
yeah, like
that.
Something like that.
That's they're rough. A big company. That's they're rough. Owned by Technicolor, I
yep.
think.
Well, and they still exist.
Yeah, I have offices
it's
all
just,
over the world. They
it's
just closed
the studio
that one.
In Vancouver that was responsible for the Sonic redesign. Closed.
Was it too expensive? Like, do you guys know why they closed?
So I believe that they had a certain budget for VFX, and they did the VFX, and they put the trailer out, and then there was a huge backlash, and they decided to change it. But it was the studio, it was the film studio deciding to change it. So they said to the VFX guys, hey, you need to redo this because everyone hates it. We don't like what you did.
Yeah.
So then the VFX studio had to put in extra hours and have their staff work overtime
budget?
And crunch and everything. Yeah, without extra budget. And that caused them to have to shut it down.
See, that's baloney because like maybe they presented that design, but they didn't have final say on what that Sonic would look like. So that just seems sad.
That's how it goes in VFX. It's a rough industry.
Fair
like
enough.
You bid for contracts. You bid as low as you can, so you
right.
beat the other studios, and then you're the last ones in the chain. So the movie gets made, and the filming goes over time and over budget, and suddenly you have to do all your work with half the time that you thought you did. So then you have to pay everyone overtime. So that's why it's just a race to the bottom in that
industry. That's the key, is like how competitive it is, which is ridiculous because, well, it makes sense because VFX is one of the like core things that is responsible for elevating movies to like the giant blockbusters that they are. People go for the crazy spectacle, so you want to have that good VFX.
And more is getting relegated to VFX.
Right.
Especially in this Sonic movie. There's times where I was like, why is that VFX? Like, there's times where his... we didn't even do the synopsis yet, guys. Okay.
Yeah,
hold on. We got to do this right now.
We'll get back.
Sonic. The movie opens with Sonic as a kid ripping around on his birth world, which is not Earth, where his incredible powers of speed draw the attention of a tribe of masked archers, basically, who try to kill him. So his apparent guardian, a talking owl named
Longclaw,
uses one of those gold Sonic rings that you're used to seeing in the games to open a portal to Earth so Sonic can escape, but not before giving him a bag of his own rings that he can use to escape if he's ever found yet again. She tells him, never stop running. You'll never be safe. And then we flash forward many years, and Sonic lives, unknown to the world, in a small town where nothing happens. There's a cop that lives there, too, who's super bored, and he's played by James Marsden, a.k.a. Cyclops from the Bryan Singer X-Men movies. And then, Sonic gets really lonely. He gets so lonely that he has a tantrum. That tantrum is a big electrical EMP that knocks out the whole Pacific Northwest. That power outage draws the attention of the military, and in some weird military scene, where they're like, how should we respond? You know what? We're going to send in... this eccentric Jim Carrey.
Don't send him in, no.
Yeah.
Robotnik. Dr. Robotnik, who's played by Jim Carrey.
Elon Musk with even more ADHD.
So then the movie basically goes from there. Robotnik's trying to capture Sonic so he can, like, use his energy. And then Cyclops is helping Sonic escape. And Cyclops wants to be a cop in a big city instead of being bored. And then in the end, it's the power of friendship, basically.
That synopsis was as jumbled as the movie was for me.
See, I don't think the movie's jumbled at all.
Before we get to your opinion, though, guys, something different this podcast. Love it or hate it, we're doing ads, baby. But, we're going to have music over the ads, so you're going to know when they're happening. And I'm going to try to make this exactly 1 minute. So, here we go. Carpool Critics is supported by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, including the greatest ball hair trimmer on the planet, the Lawnmower 3.0. Yes, Riley, this is real.
Whoa!
Riley, you got a scrotum, right?
I do.
Well, how would you like to groom that puppy with a ceramic blade, 7,000 RPM quiet stroke motor, stroke, and even an LED light so you can see what you're doing?
I would love that.
I'm sure you would, but did you know you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code CARPOOL at manscaped.com?
No way!
Way. We're also brought to you by Private Internet Access VPN. Private Internet Access, or PIA, helps you hide your true IP address so you can bypass geo restrictions and censorship. You can connect up to 5 devices at once, and it includes an internet kill switch if your VPN gets disconnected involuntarily. I hate that. It's available for Windows, Mac, Android, iOS, even a Chrome extension, guys. So check it out at lmg.gg/carpoolPIA.
Nice.
Painless, right? Okay, give me your opinions, David.
Awesome.
I feel like this movie is very single-minded, and it's very simple. It sets out to be one thing, which is like a very simple get to point B movie with two people that are gonna have to like learn the relationship and a clear obstacle, and it succeeds at that. It's not complicated. The scenes aren't particularly
good. It's not jumbled.
Good.
It's not jumbled like no, you I say. Think it's not like Doolittle.
No, it's
it's the formula.
Yeah, it's the formula, and it executes it just fine with characters that are fine and like. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's,
yeah, no, I know. I guess I didn't mean jumbled structurally. Like, I think I agree with you that the plot is pretty straightforward. Like, bad guy wants to capture Sonic, and that stuff ensues. But I think in terms of the feel of it,
I agree.
The direction, the acting, the general feel. It was just very jumbled. It felt like they couldn't decide whether they wanted to be like a heartfelt,
like tonally. Totally
the tone. They couldn't decide whether they wanted to be like a heartfelt children's movie with some action, or whether they wanted to be like a Deadpool
slapstick
comedy sketch type of thing. Like there were so many jokes just like layered in there that were like, you said you laughed in the theater. I feel like I laughed maybe 3 times.
I laughed aloud a dozen times.
I maybe laughed 3 times, and I feel like it was because
you're in a bad mood.
No, I was in.
Did you skip dinner?
I was in a fine mood. I ate dinner. I saw this at 10 p.m. I was like relaxed.
You were tired.
Well, I was a little tired, I guess.
Okay, here's a question for you.
But what okay. the joke point I was making is that they throw so many at you. It was just kind of like throw this, see what sticks. And I, like some of them, three of them stuck, and the rest of them I was kind of like, ugh. And the worst part is hearing the other people in the theater, which is pretty empty. Like grown people, like being like, ah, ha, 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 at the cake joke. And she's like, oh, I got you a second cake just in case.
They're
like,
I thought that was an okay joke.
That's hilarious. No, that was a decent joke.
Yeah,
it was like Hallmark movie moment. It was so lame.
Yeah, but this movie was, I don't know what you expected from this movie. It's not going to be comedic genius.
I don't know.
We were in a theater that was mostly full. And there was clearly a lot of Sonic fans that enjoyed the movie even more than
there
we did.
Not many kids in there.
No, it was mostly
millennials.
So that's super interesting to me.
And they were laughing at way more jokes than we were, but like our group was laughing like a fair bit. Like it probably got us like 10 to 15
to be
times.
Fair though, there was a few people in front of me who were laughing a lot more than I was, but they were laughing not at punchlines in the movie. You could tell someone was just super clever and was like leaning over and being like, and then the other person's like,
oh, they were making jokes about the movie.
It was meta. Yeah, yeah. I wanted to sit by that guy.
Yeah.
He's probably got lots of
stuff. You know the guy that's got
a
one-liner every time a trailer ends before the movie starts for every trailer? I love that guy.
Yeah, yeah. You want to see movies with that guy. I mean, you know, the fact that there are so many adults in these, I don't know, it bothers me. because here's something I wrote in my notes was that the only people who should be laughing at most of the jokes in the movie are children. Yet the appeal of a Sonic movie is for people who are playing video games in the 90s are adults.
That's
so
your
it's
opinion.
Adults with the brain set with the brain of a child.
What you don't understand, Riley, is that there have been Sonic games the whole time.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Did you ever play one on GameCube and stuff, like any of the 3D ones?
I have not played a single Sonic game.
The franchise has been continuous. Plus,
yeah.
In pop culture, even just like last year, remember Knuckles and then for the Queen? Oh, remember that? All the clicking and stuff?
Are you talking about
the VR Knuckles
VR
meme?
Chat?
Yeah.
For the Queen? No, he was saying, you know the way.
Yeah, yeah.
that's largely unrelated to the Sonic mythos.
I'm just saying, it's not like Sonic's completely irrelevant.
No. He's culturally relevant, sure. Like, and that, the reason he's culturally relevant is because he has this massive nostalgia attached to him, like in the same way as Sonic. But I just don't have that nostalgia. And so I have no choice but to watch this movie as a, like, you know, completely unattached fan. I said to myself, I was like, I wish I could watch more movies this way. I wish it could be like a switch. Like I could turn nostalgia on and off. I would have still hated the Star Wars movies.
Don't bring it to Star Wars.
I'm comparing this to Star Wars because I have massive nostalgia for Star Wars. I love Star Wars. I do not evaluate Star Wars movies objectively. So I go into this movie, I have zero nostalgia attached to it. I can only evaluate it as like a bad kids movie.
Yeah, that's really interesting because it's not really made for an objective experience.
No.
You might say, I mean, I don't know how many callbacks and homages there are in this movie and like self-referential things, not that many. I think there's one part where Sonic takes out a bunch of robots and when they hit the ground, rings come out of them. And that's...
Well, no, they're falling with the robots.
Yeah. That was just because his bag.
Yeah. Oh, those were coming out of his bag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was just like, oh, cool, you killed something and you get rings. Isn't that how the game works?
Sort of.
No, it's when you get damaged, the rings come out of
you. Yeah.
And they make that ting, ting, ting sound. Oh, well, there's no homages. There's no references.
Well, he calls Dr. Robotnik Eggman. There's that.
I kind of want to speak to the opposite side of that. I have a lot of Sonic nostalgia.
Okay.
I had a Game Gear growing up, and I played all the Sonic games on that.
Nice.
I kind of went through a dark phase where I just avoided them, like when Sonic kisses a woman.
I thought you were going to say you went through a dark phase where you were like,
I love
through the world, I'm only playing Sonic.
No.
There's Spider-Man 3 David with his bangs across his eyes. He's got his Game Gear. He's got a lot of batteries in his backpack.
Dancing in the street with emo hair.
But like, I like Sonic. Like, I like Sonic Mania, Sonic Generations very recently. I watch a lot of the cartoons. Like, I have a lot of nostalgia for some of it. I compiled a list yesterday and sent it to these guys about, like, kind of all the changes Sonic's been through. And this movie isn't actually that accurate to, like, what a specific idea of Sonic is.
Mm.
And so I don't know if it, like, actually requires you to be nostalgic. And I don't know, like...
Oh.
I don't know.
I think it does. Well, but...
The fact that they changed it is kind of a saving grace, actually, because one criticism of Sonic was that when he came out in the 90s, he had this, like... anti-establishment kind of rebel attitude that was super 90s. And
because Robotnik represents like corporate America and
machinery,
like,
and he kind of represents the natural world and environmentalism and stuff. And he just had this attitude that was very of the moment.
Right.
And then
right.
the moment passed and he's still part of this franchise. So if he came in with like a John Connor from T2 attitude in this movie, like, smell you later, it would have been brutal. But, well, but he didn't have that at all.
That's interesting you mentioned that, like, environmental aspect of it, because, like, that's a huge zeitgeist right now. That could have been so interesting to have Sonic be like, no, I'm protecting the forest and stuff, because that's where he lives.
True.
He hid out in the forest.
Instead, this movie has no moral.
Huge potential. Yeah. Huge potential for there to be actually a message to this movie other than, hey, don't have dreams, stay in the small town where you
live. No, family is important, and sometimes the most important things are right next to you.
Yeah, that's
that's nice,
movie.
Except that he has lived in this entire town. That was another, just like not liking the movie in general, this is like a specific thing that I can complain about, was that Tom's arc, Tom is James Marsden.
Who is Cyclops.
Who is Cyclops'
Prince Charming
arc.
Enchanted.
There's a Cyclops in this movie, very interesting. His arc in this movie was that he has been stuck in this small town. He's been helpful to people. He's a good guy, super nice. But finally, he has a dream, and finally he has an opportunity to capitalize on this dream. And he's going to like improve his life and go see something else other than the small town that he stayed in his entire life.
By being tentatively accepted as a police officer in San Francisco.
Right, right. And at the end of the movie, he's basically convinced to like, nah, I'm just going to stay here.
Well, I think it's because he only wanted to be a police officer in San Francisco, not because he loves San Francisco, but he wanted an opportunity to do something important.
To do something new, yeah.
Yeah, and this adventure with Sonic afforded him that opportunity. I don't disagree. I think they could have done a way better job setting up that he still loved this town and actually really didn't want to go.
Right.
And it felt weird that like his wife didn't want to go, but he did. And then at the end, he just is like, yeah, it's fine. We'll stay. It's cool.
His wife didn't even seem... Her sister lives in San Francisco, and she was down. She was like, well, I was in school. You worked 3 jobs to like support us, and I'm willing to do this. They like set it up that it's going to be totally fine, and there's no negative consequences of him leaving.
You need to have that, though, because then when he stays, he's staying for him, and it's because of his character arc. He says... I got a taste of what it's like to save lives or kick ass or whatever. I got enough action. I'm going to stay
home.
Yeah,
I didn't like the scene where he's telling Sonic about it, and Sonic is like, no, you can't leave. Those people need you to like help their cows give birth and help the ducks cross the street. Like, no, they don't. There's other people that can do that.
I don't know, man. That his sidekick cop was useless.
He was, but I'm like, just it's an annoying character arc to have somebody like have dreams to like go further and beyond, and then have the moral of the story be like, no, that's actually wrong to do that. And I think that the lesson of like, hey, sometimes the things you most need in your life or that give you meaning are right next to you. You don't need to like go for glamour and glitz or whatever. But he didn't even he wasn't trying to be a Instagram star. He was just like, I want to try something new. I want to work in San Francisco for a little bit.
He was after self-actualization.
Yeah.
And I hear what you're saying. I think maybe they just really wanted to draw a very strong parallel between him and Sonic. So Sonic the whole time was thinking, I need to escape Earth and go to another planet. And then he decided, you know what? I'm just going to stay on Earth. So I think they wanted both characters to do the same thing.
Right. And I do acknowledge that in terms of the dynamic between him and Sonic, it makes a lot of sense because Sonic has been on the outskirts of the town, hiding, like outsider looking in, looking at all these people living their lives in this small town, and all he wants to do is be a part of the family there, right? And when he meets Tom, Tom's like, oh, I'm sick of this small town, I want to leave. And he's like, what, you're insane. That was an interesting, like, I'll say that made sense to me, but I think, I just didn't like how the story panned out. Like, I wish that there was some sort of compromise or something instead of just being like, oh, no, you're right, I shouldn't have dreams.
I think part of it is kind of going along with what you were saying before, that there's kind of a tonal mess in this movie. There's the Sonic and Tom movie, which is like this very earnest, very sincere, schmaltzy family movie.
So cheesy. And
like, it's fine. Man, like some of the music stings in this movie are like belong in like Full House times 5. Like they were the cheesiest music stings I've ever heard. And then it would cut to Jim Carrey being like,
Oh, we're going to talk about like, Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey just doesn't belong in this movie.
I actually think
he was really funny, and I think he did okay.
Yeah, it was nice seeing like wacky Jim Carrey again, because I'm like, ah, oh, yeah.
But you can just tell the director had a different movie in mind, and was too intimidated by Jim Carrey to tell him to do something other than Jim
Carrey. Yeah, I was going to ask, what do you think happened there? Because like, okay, there's obviously the possibility that Jim Carrey was like, this character's boring, I'm going to make him crazy. And then there's a possibility that like, the director wanted that and there was no moderation happening on either side.
There were a couple scenes where I felt like this scene is just Jim Carrey. There's like a scene, there's like a dance
where he's
montage.
Dancing.
I'm like,
dancing in his robot truck.
The screenwriters did not write
like,
this.
Like, what was this for? What is the purpose of this scene? We already know he's a wacky character. Why do we need a whole dance montage?
I thought he was way less cringe than I was expecting, and he was kind of Jim Carrey in full form, although his form of humor is expired now, but it fits in a kid's movie. But then I kind of thought, is this good for Jim Carrey's mental health? I was like, no, don't let him do this. You've let him fall back into his own patterns.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like
I
he relapsed. Like,
yeah, maybe. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I need to see an interview with him after this movie. But like before, I think maybe it was like he's still that Jim Carrey. He never like stopped being Jim Carrey. He just had like a friggin' epiphany after doing what's that
Man
called?
On the Moon.
Mescaline. Mescaline. Oh. Yeah. Or something, you know. He had a spirit journey, and then like is because he was saying like there are no selves and stuff. He was like saying that in interviews.
He's a weird dude.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He was on that show. Like he was on a show with Norm Macdonald.
Oh yeah.
And someone else, and it was like just uncomfortable
to
watch.
Yeah.
You don't know if he's like in care. He's just so unpredictable that you just feel nervous watching him.
But I never felt like the Ace Ventura Carrie left. I think he was just like
dormant.
Okay, yeah, dormant. And now this is like a opportunity for him to bring it out again.
Well, I watched hours of Jim Carrey interviews for Sonic.
What do you?
I needed to know
how much free time. How much free time do you have?
Not
you do
enough.
So much preparation.
I didn't
for these
go home
things.
Last night.
I stayed up all night watching Jim Carrey interviews.
He said something like this comes along, and it's like a gift presented by the universe.
Right.
He said also in his interview. I'm paraphrasing now, but. That Jim Carrey was always there. He just hasn't had an opportunity to do this. And when he saw the script for this, he was so excited to just be able to unleash and be him.
There's an interesting harmony there where people, these millennials who are going to see this movie, like, oh, nostalgia. Remember the 90s when I played Sonic? Whoa, remember the 90s when I liked Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Remember Liar
yeah.
Liar? It's like almost the same time period.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I think his character grew on me a little because it was a rough start. Like when he comes up and he's like, what's your name? I don't care. Okay, General, I don't care. And it was just like
That was the part in the trailer. That
was too much.
Brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree. I think there was some scenes that were worse than others. I loved the final scene with him. I think I was like, yep, that's Robotnik. I finally recognize him when he's on the spoilers.
It's a spoiler podcast.
Oh, yeah. He gets transported. In the finale, he gets brought to the mushroom planet that Sonic was planning to escape to. And so he's by himself. He's got, like, his gear. He's shaved his head off, and he's got a way longer mustache.
Yeah,
actually looks like the iconic Dr. Robotnik or Dr. Eggman.
Except he's not fat.
Yeah, but that's
fine. He could get fat on the mushrooms.
On the mushrooms.
I guess.
Mushrooms make you.
But then
lots
it
of
felt like
content.
Finally the weirdness, like the crazy kooky Jim Carrey, and then the character finally merged.
Yeah,
and it felt like that was a cohesive thing. I'm like, okay, if they make another movie, like we're there. We have Dr.
Oh, they will. I was halfway through this movie. I was like, son of a bitch, they're gonna make four of them. I'm calling it now.
You think there's gonna be a sequel?
There's gonna be four. There's gonna be this one's gonna. Well, it depends on this one. This one is the ratings are fine, but if it actually does okay in the box office, makes some money. You know they're going to make a sequel because did you not watch the end roll credits? Like, there's a mid roll credits scene.
Oh no, I walked out.
No, there's another scene.
I was like, I'm out of here.
And you can predict what happens in that scene.
Dr. Robotnik, Sonic beep, meets boop, boop, Tails.
Yeah. Hell yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's some kind of little disturbance, and then suddenly Tails is there, and he's like, "I'm gonna find him. He's here somewhere." And he's like looking for Sonic.
Oh, you see Tails?
Yes. And then he jumps off the cliff, and that's where it should have ended. But instead, you do see him. Come back into frame flying with his tails and then he zooms
off.
Okay,
now this is one of the huge problems that I have with portraying Sonic on film is that there's no consideration given to plausibility or the lore.
Are you talking about aesthetically what he looks like?
Listen.
David's just laughing into his milkshake.
Listen, it's one thing. Okay, look, you look at the Marvel movies, okay? They started out being like, all right, we're making superhero movies, but people aren't just going to accept, you know, magic blasts coming out of people's heads right away. We got to explain this a little bit, okay? So they started with Iron Man, makes sense. There's science there. Captain America, there's a super, we developed this serum. There's some biological enhancement going on there. All right, Thor. All right, that one's a little out there, but we're going to explain that it's not magic. It's just technology that's so advanced that it seems like magic. Okay, so now we've set up this like base for plausibility. And so then anything that happens after that, we can accept people shooting lasers out of their hands or whatever, because it's like, oh, there's an explanation. We might not get it in this movie, but there's an explanation. This movie makes no attempt to make anything make sense. And it's just...
what kind of things are you talking about? Like the way he looks or what he can do?
So, are the rings based on... Is there magic? Is it technology? Why was he born with super speed?
Well, I think it's technology. They say at one point...
It is technology.
Well, yeah, every advanced civilization uses these rings to travel between worlds.
Right, right. But so they're mine? They can read your mind?
Well, I mean, have you ever talked to a Google assistant?
So you're talking about...
Next step, man. Next step.
So you get these sonic rings, you basically hold them, you think about where you want to go, you throw them, and then a portal opens.
Yeah.
And I guess at that point, you lose that ring. You have a
Yeah, and then the ring's gone.
So here's why I don't care about anything you said, Riley. Because the Marvel movies take place on Earth, right? Yeah. So it's in our universe.
Well, but this one does too.
Yeah, but Sonic is from a different dimension. So I don't actually care that he's fully cartoonized and doesn't even look like he belongs on Earth because he's from a different dimension. So that all works for me. I'm allowing all of that.
See, but that's the thing is that I'm like, okay, I don't know. Maybe I would like to see that explained. Like, oh, okay, you're from another dimension. What the physics don't make sense. How is a fox... You got two. A fox with two tails can spin them so fast they act as helicopter blades.
You're thinking way too hard, man.
Okay, look. Oh wait, this is the parallel I wanted to draw. Okay, the Mario movie. Okay, what was that?
Favorite movie.
The Mario movie with was it Danny DeVito and
no. Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo.
Leguizamo.
Yeah.
He must have played Luigi, eh?
Yeah. So that one is like, okay, we can't make the Mario universe make sense on film. We just can't. So we're going to make it this like weird new interpretation of the Mario universe where it's this like dystopia and Bowser is like a crime lord and Yoshi is this like weird genetically mutated lizard. And it's like, okay, I would much rather see that than like Space Jam, but with Sonic.
Why? You're shoehorning a franchise into a world where it doesn't belong. It's like, just go for it.
No, that's what this is doing.
No, this is the opposite. The Mario thing is shoehorning into real life. Like, okay, we'll explain everything.
This is exactly what you're taking Sonic as he exists in the video game universe with no explanation and literally shoehorning him in.
No, yeah, but you just said it yourself, as he exists. You take him as he exists. That's what we want to see. We don't want to be like, yeah, Mario, he's a plumber and he has to wear those overalls because in the future there's no clothes anymore.
You know what? I'm going to bring this back to Star Wars real quick, okay? This is exactly why, and take everything that I'm saying from a non-Sonic fan, okay? I'm not talking about this as in like...
They have great burgers.
They got to do right by Sonic and stuff, okay? Because I don't care about Sonic at all. I'm sorry, audience. I know that a lot of you like Sonic. I just don't, okay? I'm just being honest. So, like, The Last Jedi, it destroyed Luke's character, and that bothered a lot of real Star Wars fans because it was
Quit
like...
gatekeeping.
Just listen. Shut up. it bothered a lot of Star Wars fans because it was like a new interpretation of the lore, right? It's like, hey, the story that I want to tell of, like... The story that we all want of like Luke Skywalker being this like badass Jedi master and he's like taking down armies of stormtroopers and AT-ATs by himself, that would be really cool. I want to see that. But Rian Johnson said, no, that's not interesting. What's interesting is deconstructing the character of Luke Skywalker, and we're going to do something that
you
maybe...
said real quick.
Listen, I'm almost done. Ugh, it made me lose my train of thought. We're going to deconstruct the character of Luke Skywalker, and maybe it's not what you want to see, but it's interesting creatively. That's what I would want to see from Sonic, okay? I don't care about the true iteration of Sonic. I don't care about, I want to think about these things. So I want to take the Sonic character and deconstruct him and like say, okay, how could Sonic exist in the real world? And that's why the original design didn't really bother me that much, because it looked more like... It looked dumb, but like it looked more like awful. A creature that could potentially exist in our universe,
for sure,
you know? And this one is just like, ah, he's a cartoon.
See, man, I couldn't disagree more. I feel like that idea of like, okay, we got to take Sonic and like deconstruct him and like make him work as a movie. Like, that's why you get terrible video game movies. It's like you take elements of it and then you reinterpret it through a film lens
but
and
love,
create a new character.
But you love The Last Jedi.
We're not talking about The Last Jedi.
It's the same thing.
It's not the same thing. But like, that's why so many video game movies are so bad, where they take elements of the video game. They take Tomb Raider. They take Lara Croft. They're like, okay, what are some like three or four iconic ideas of that? Let's like boil that down.
Put some guns on her legs.
Yeah, guns on her legs, like the iconic outfit, and then like rebuild something completely different. And like, if they did that with Sonic, like they could have done that, but that's not Sonic anymore. That's just a thing using Sonic to sell movie tickets.
Wait, hold on a second. They might have done that with Sonic. I have no idea what the recent games are like.
I've played a fair bit, and like that's... There's some stuff that's like, it's not trying to be like as accurate to the video game as possible, but like, this is a fairly accurate idea of what Sonic is. Sonic's been a billion different things. He's been like a rebel fighter in a dystopian future.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been like a Bugs Bunny stand-in. He's been like a romance hero for a princess. He's been like the hero of Arabian Nights. Like, he's been everything.
And in some games, you just like... You just grind on these rails. You just race each other by like sliding on your shoes down pipes. Yep.
I guess. So, not being a Sonic fan, we should say for the audience, David. Before this podcast, he accumulated all of the intros to all like the different iterations of Sonic in the past like 20 years or something, and that was very interesting to me because I watched through those and I was like, oh, okay. So I kind of got the sense that like it is tradition in Sonic media to take Sonic from the universe that he exists in and just like whip him through a portal and drop him into some place where he does not belong at all, like in the middle of like this like medieval knights setting.
Stop it.
And so I guess this
so shameless, hey?
It's yeah,
like,
I know.
Hey, what's trending right now? What's gonna work? And then there's localization at play as well. Like they wanted, it's Japanese property, they wanted him to appeal to the West. So even Eggman, Robotnik was never called Robotnik. His name is Eggman, except for North America, one of the original releases. And then after being known as Robotnik for a short time, across all territories, it was like, okay, he's Eggman from now on.
Right. So, you know what? I think what I would have liked is now I understand, I think, why they did this, because like that's tradition to just like drop Sonic into things. But I think what I would have liked instead of an attempt at like a Space Jam with Sonic, is just like a full-on 3D animated Sonic movie with like all the characters, Tails and Knuckles and stuff. Bring them all in and have this like really cool animated movie with like Robotnik as a bad guy and they're fighting and they, you know. I would have loved to see that way more.
Do you think that would sell more tickets? Do you think it'd be more interesting?
Well, I don't Spider-Verse.
Think so.
Spider-Verse did amazing.
But it wouldn't be that good.
But it was so good.
Well, just get the guys that did Spider-Verse and do a Sonic movie.
Riley, I'll make you a promise. They're never going to make a Sonic movie as good as Into the Spider-Verse. That's my promise.
They're never going to make another Spider-Man movie that good. That was like a lightning in a bottle.
Okay. I'm not saying that it will happen. I'm saying I would have liked that much more. To like, we're going to go all in on the animation instead of like having this like weird live action cartoon hybrid. Like, this isn't, I mean, I think you're right that the 90s nostalgia plays a role here, because like who framed Roger Rabbit? I wasn't thinking about the lore in that movie, although there was some interesting stuff with them having that chemical that like, you know, there are some physics at play there and it's interesting, but like no one cared about the lore in that movie because it was just like, they're cartoons. And the same thing happens here where you're just like, Sonic's a cartoon. I don't need to think about how this works. It's just whatever. So like I could turn my brain off completely in a fully 3D animated, you know, thing that takes place on Mobius or whatever the Sonic universe planet is called. I won't think about it in that scenario. But because we're in the real world here and now you're injecting this cartoon or this creature that kind of looks like he could be a creature, but he acts like a cartoon. It's just it's annoying and it's jarring.
For me, there was a moment about 30 seconds of the movie where I had to make a conscious decision. I'm like, I'm going with this movie or I'm not. It's when like the anime archers are chasing the realistic owl and baby Sonic. This is weird and stupid and like this makes no sense. And like, why does this owl look real when everyone else has eyes the size of like four football fields? It makes no sense.
That was immediately jarring.
And I was just, like, I remember I could feel like the grumpiness growing inside of me. I'm like, I could turn so cynical. And
I'm
going to
be
like,
happy
hey.
Today.
And I'm like, yeah.
I'm
making a decision to just go with this movie and let it take me on its journey.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that I knew that most people were watching the movie with that mindset. So then I was like, I got to be the other guy.
You know what? I'm an adult. And I'm watching this as an adult.
No, I don't know, because I think this was an opportunity, because I feel like a lot of people have nostalgia attached to Sonic. I don't. So I was like, I'm not going to be able to watch this movie and truly enjoy it. I could force myself to try and enjoy it, but like one of the things that makes you enjoy the movie is having any sort of nostalgia attached to it. And I just did not have that.
Today I'm choosing hate. You know what, Riley?
No, I wasn't choosing. It was
your negativity is actually rubbing off me. I want to talk about some things that I hate.
Nice.
You know what? A lot of nonsensical crap happens in this movie. Is he fast or not? There's times where it's like he's doing that whole like Quicksilver thing where time is basically slow because he's so fast.
Yeah, lifted straight up, from X-Men first class. Yeah.
Totally from X-Men. But then there's times where that doesn't happen at all. Like, there's a moment where they get, like, a bomb stuck to their hand, and they're trying to throw this bomb away. And finally, they throw the bomb away, and then it explodes quite close to them, and they all get injured. It's like, but then there's other scenes where he can run around the bar for, like, a seven-minute sequence.
Yeah, why doesn't he just, like, pause time and, like, take the thing off?
Like, did he... Like, there's scenes where bullets and missiles are getting fired at him, and he has time to, like, play drums on the bullets. So this thing exploding, he obviously could have been like, oh, see ya.
Well, that's the other thing that bothered me. How fast is he? Because traditionally, he's been like, he can go as fast as the speed of sound. Yeah. And that's why his name's Sonic. Yeah.
Well, early in the movie, he goes by a radar gun at 300 miles an hour. He's got to go way faster than that to be like,
I think he was just trying to get it to 300 exactly.
Do you think that was
fun? Because he went in front of the radar gun and then it was like 296 and he was like, and then he did it again. He's 300 and he was like, yes.
I found it weird when the Robotnik ship was chasing him that he's like, nothing's ever been this fast. And I'm like, you're not going that fast. Like, there's a lot of things that can go faster than this Robotnik ship. Like, pretty much every jet ever goes faster than this.
But that was because Robotnik had the quill.
Yeah, but I'm like, yeah, okay, now he has this, like, magic device, but he's still not going faster than a jet.
Going as fast as they've been in the movie, because they're going by cars and stuff really fast, but you can still see those cars moving. Yeah, right. So if they're moving really fast, faster than Sonic's ever seen, then it would have been everything standing still.
Oh, one of the things that annoyed me the most was during one of those montages where everything's paused, but in the bar specifically, and he's running around and he's kind of going like half slow motion for the camera, you know? And so it looks like he's kind of going in slow motion himself, but then it cuts to another part and he's like going super speed while he's in super speed, you know?
Oh yeah. When he's on top of the person and there's three of him, cause he's going so fast.
Yeah. He's going and it's like, what? What? How fast are you going?
I think my favorite,
you'd be disintegrated.
I think my favorite fast montage was actually when his tantrum was happening. I thought the animation of Sonic when he's like running around the baseball field was really cool, and they do a good job.
That was cool.
He plays baseball with himself.
Yeah, of like showing. I found the baseball scene was fine. I was like, okay, whatever. This is okay. It's charming.
No, that was fine.
But when he's actually just running really fast, they did a good job of like showing like three or four different like kinds of animation as like how it would be if he was going that fast, where it's like it's kind of he's stuck in one spot and like the frame is refreshing.
Yeah, that was cool.
Or like he's moving. I thought they actually did a pretty decent job on his animation.
You mean visually?
Visually, yeah. But I wanted more. Like, I was kind of like, in the trailer, there's that scene when he turns into the ball and smashes into Robotnik's truck.
I was exactly going to say this.
Yeah, I wanted way more of that.
I think 100%. I represent, just like Star Wars, the everyman here, where it's like, yeah, I played the Sonic games, not like Riley's childhood was bereft. But I've played them, but I don't remember really anything, really. All I know is that you grow into a ball, you go, and then you get more powerful and faster when you do that.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that in this movie at all. He just rips around. He never turns into a ball and spins on the spot and then shoots off.
That's the thing. If they went all the way with it, then I think I would have liked that. Because it's like, all right, let's go all the way. Like, he's a cartoon. He's straight up a cartoon. But instead, it's like trying to walk a middle line where it's like, oh, we couldn't have him rev in the same spot because that doesn't make any sense for someone to rev up. Like if you run in place, you're not building up speed.
He goes into a ball a couple of times. He looks super cute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I would have loved way more of that. Like the one thing that I did really like about this movie was the parts where Sonic was like a badass.
Yeah, it was cool.
Where he starts like he wrecks a bunch of robots and like that was super cool. And at the end when he's like going Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, this is cool. I want this for the whole movie.
This movie was really missing an epic like finale. It would have been way cooler if like the best fight of the whole movie was in that final nighttime scene with Dr. Robotnik and him. Instead, they just shoot Sonic. He gets knocked out. No, they don't even shoot him. He's already knocked out before the scene starts. They have their emotional beats, and then he wakes up Super Saiyan and then jumps on the ship. That's it. That's the climax of the movie, and it could have been a really good moment for like the most cool Sonic action, which has been like pretty good up to this point, but they just needed like punctuation.
Yeah. He needed to like charge up some speed, run up the side of a building vertically, maybe hit a giant spring, and then go for a loop-de-loop, you know, some...
Yeah, like Robotnik's bringing his full force. It's like, more robots, bigger robots than we've seen the entire movie, and he has to do like the most epic run at one time and just blow them all up.
You should have been in a robot similar to the first boss in Sonic, because at least all the kids made it that far.
Yeah.
I should say for the lore conscious among our listeners that there is like a supersonic form. He didn't go supersonic, like, which is like the equivalent of him going Super Saiyan. He just had like a lot of lightning and stuff. It was like his powers were awakened fully.
I hated that scene because...
Wait, what? You hated the end scene?
I hated the end scene. Because they fully just like tease you with like, it's going to be awesome. And it's just like, he literally just hits the ship and it blows up. That's it. But what I hated more about that scene was that how clear it was that the actors were reacting to blank space. That like both the wife and James Marsden are like... So in that scene, Sonic is knocked out and you think he's dead. And like they're like, oh, we're sad. And it's a close-up on them. They're like, oh, no, it's so sad. And Robotnik gives this big speech. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to take over the world. I'm going to use this power to do this. And then Sonic starts flashing and gets up. And then the shot of their reaction of Sonic getting up isn't like our like friend, this guy we've been on an adventure with, has risen from the dead with this ultimate power. And he's going to beat him. It's like, that's a good joke. And it's just like this.
Got him.
Oh, like they didn't know what they were going to eventually be looking at, so they acted like, wrong.
They just acted wrong for that scene, and it totally diffused the emotional potential of that scene for me.
Yeah.
I noticed a wrong eye line once or twice in the movie.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
okay.
The line of sight was like seemed off.
Guys, we have to talk about the product placement in this movie.
Oh my gosh.
Holy shit.
You guys want pasta?
Thank
you guys want pasta?
Guys, okay.
Thanks for bringing that up, because I wanted to talk about that, but I forgot.
There are many moments of seeming product placement in this movie, but there is one moment that is blatant, where this company just paid for the movie. There's a part where it's like, oh, we're going to move to San Francisco because you got a job out there. His Cyclops' wife turns the laptop to the camera and is like, I found an apartment on Zillow.com. And and the logo is like Zillow.
Yeah,
like,
Zillow.
It's like, what?
I was also like, that's a pretty expensive apartment. It's like... $5,000 US per month. I'm like, she's a veterinarian.
He's been saving
that's
up.
That's cheap, buddy. It's San Francisco.
That's fair. That's San Francisco.
That's a two bedroom. That was really egregious. And then there's a couple other ones, like a little girl gets Sonic's some new shoes because he's wearing these ratchet beat up old ones. She gets him some nice new red shoes like you're expecting.
Yeah.
And then as you're putting them on, there's just so you can't miss it, Puma.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that actually.
Oh, really? Oh, you missed it.
Buy those shoes too. They're like a special edition.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and then
so
there's
funny.
There's recurring Olive Garden jokes.
They
but
make
those ones,
multiple.
You could see, like, maybe they're just making a joke about Olive Garden.
The first
the
one, when he's
in.
Like, man, we'll go to Olive Garden, because when you're there, you're family. Like, it was just too, just too much of a setup.
It's
like,
he said the slogan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they come back and you actually see a Olive Garden gift card at the end. Like, they mention Olive
That's
Garden.
That's
kind
of funny, though, because they're like, oh, we're expecting something really good. Instead, we got this stupid Olive Garden gift card. It's like,
so he kind of deprecates it there, but right after that scene, he says, like, actually, I'm looking forward to the pasta. So.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
Oh, they really needed it for this one.
So do you guys think this movie's going to make lots of money, make a sequel?
I hope not.
I don't think it's going to make a butt ton of money, but I think it's going to make enough for a sequel. And then that'll make enough because people like Tails. They'll do a third one. That will bomb. That one won't do well, but they'll still make a fourth one. And by then, you'll be like, no.
See, I'm excited. Okay, look. I hated this movie. And at the end, I'm like, please don't make a sequel. I don't want more of that. But if they kind of embrace more of the fantastical elements, they bring in Tails, they make it more clear.
Storm, Beast, Professor X.
All those good guys. What was I saying?
They make it more clear.
If they embrace the more fantastical elements and I don't have to think about whether this makes sense in our universe, you know, then the only real vestige of that is Dr. Robotnik. Then I'm like, okay, fine. I'll watch a fun animated cartoon about Sonic. Like that, I might enjoy that.
He better get fat on those mushrooms.
I hope so.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and then that's the Robotnik we deserve.
Okay, as a closing question, is this the best video game movie ever?
Okay, what is it competing with? Hitman, where the guy was too small.
No.
Assassin's Creed.
Tomb Raiders, Prince of Persia, Mario movie.
Tomb Raider? Was that one
there's
good?
There's two. They're fine.
There's like how many? Four?
No, but the new one. The new one.
Oh, I didn't see that one with Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, me neither.
There's the Resident Evil movies.
Speed Racer. Oh, wait, no, it's a cartoon. Sorry.
There's Astro Boy.
The Matrix. But
that's manga first. Matrix.
They made video games of that.
No, that's the other way, though.
Oh.
If you're going to go that way, you could just... Star Wars?
Batman?
One thing I will say is that when I checked the ratings, it was at like 70% of Rotten Tomatoes and 7.4 on IMDb, and now it's gone down.
Yeah.
65% were on Tomatoes.
You know what happened? A bunch of reasonable Sonic fans saw it and was like, this
reasonable
is great.
People saw
and then
the movie.
The ratings got higher. So then normies like you were like, yeah, apparently it's all right. I'm going to go check it out. And then
nope.
It went back down.
Nope, it's dumb.
Do you guys see Detective Pikachu?
I did.
This is the same animation studio, by the way.
It's very similar in terms of like how it's executed.
It is. It is.
I think Detective Pikachu
but I would,
is better.
I would have rated Detective Pikachu higher. Yeah. Because I think that they set it up enough in that movie that like Pokemon exist and this is the deal. This is the universe. Okay, now we're playing in this universe. But this one did no setup. It was just like also the owl was a new character.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I was like, who is this?
The
long
owl
claw?
Doesn't exist in Sonic universe before this. Why oh, and so there's a hedgehog and he was raised by this owl. We'll have an owl raise Sonic. Why? Just cause.
Why not a hot hedgehog?
And it's a realistic looking owl, not even a cartoon
so
looking
like,
owl.
Is it just like a model left over from like Legends of the Guardian or something? Like it totally didn't belong in this movie.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
So like why? There's so many why things. It, just in terms of the jokes even.
Why is his nose so pointy? You know?
Lauren, my wife said, she was like, why? Just the nose bothered me the whole time. I'm like, why is his nose like that?
There's some real close-ups on that nose.
Yeah. I'm like, well, it was because that's what they looked like in the cartoon, and they got to make them look exactly like the cartoon.
In what world is he a hedgehog, really? But you
that's
know what?
The question.
The movie was self-aware enough, though. A couple times, stupid shit happened, and they're like, oh, it's stupid. Like one time, he's like, I'm a hedgehog, obviously.
Yeah. No, and I liked when they did that, but like, I don't know. I guess.
If this movie came out when I was playing those Sonic games when I was like 5, I would love this movie. So that's why I gave it a good rating for a kid's movie.
Yeah, it was fun.
If I have to take my kid to this when they're like 5 or 10 and I'm an adult and I have to take them, I'm still not mad because I laughed enough as an adult.
I think I expect and hope for a bit more substance in kids' movies. Because I think like in a world where Pixar movies and I love Moana, but in like we're in movies where those exist, where there's like a real moral to it and there's like real character development and like people grow like
songs. Not enough songs in Sonic. Hey?
Songs.
There's a lot of songs that just aren't sung by the people.
I see a movie like this where it's like it's basically a vehicle for Jim Carrey to be as wacky as possible and for the writers to like inject as many dumb SNL jokes as they possibly can. It's just like disappointing.
I can't disagree with that. This is certainly the fluffiest movie I've seen in a long time. Like it offers the least amount of improvement to my life of a movie I've seen in a long time. But I left the theater and I was happy. I was fine. I was like, yeah, this is that Sonic.
I was kind of like, can we not do another movie like this?
You recommend that? Like, what would you say to people who are like vaguely interested in this movie? Would you say do it or not?
Me?
I don't know. Like, I would say if you're going to see it, I guess see it in the theater and be part of this like zeitgeist right now. Don't like wait to watch it at home. If you watch it at home in 6 months, you're wasting your time.
Yes.
Either see it with your buddies ironically right now or not at all.
I would say that if you're a Sonic fan, okay, if you got the nostalgia module plugged in, then yeah, go see it with your buddies and have a good time in the theater. Don't watch it afterwards. It's a waste of time. I agree with that. Yeah.
If you like Sonic, it's fine. Keep your expectations low. It's not a great movie, but it's fine.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to this episode of Carpool Critics. Next week, we don't really know what we're going to do. We could do Mandy, that Nicolas Cage movie. We could do Spirited Away or another Japanese movie.
Ghibli.
The Matrix or maybe Fight Club. So we're going to make a poll on Twitter, which is at Carpool Critics. And you guys can vote in the poll what you want us to do.
Let us know. Control us. We are your puppets.
Give me a purpose.
What is my purpose?
You spread butter.
Rick and Morty joke.
Yeah, you spread butter.
There you go.
There it is.
Mr. Poopy Butthole. Bye.
Bye-bye.